All right. Okay. Hey, guys. Dang, I got to start this over. I'm sorry. Don't actually start it over. I ain't Moses. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for tuning into another episode of A Convo with Mo. It's your girl, Mo Diggs. And I am here with, I'm here with the gang. And I mean, I like, you know what I'm saying? I mean the gang. I don't know if you guys remember, but a while ago, I had a podcast. I can't even remember the name, but it was with three lovely gentlemen because one of them wasn't here. If you guys are familiar with the Project 330 gang, say what's up, y'all.
Yay. Hey, I'm here today, y'all.
What's up, man?
Okay.
All right.
It was Holiday Bay.
It was Holiday Bay. Hey, shout out to Moses. Yo, memory impeccable.
Bay.
And I have a really, really special guest, my sister.
Hey, sis.
My sister is here. We got Denise Osei. Denise, say what's up. Tell them where to find you all at.
Hey, guys. You can find me on Instagram at Denise.Osei. I am a lifestyle and travel content creator. And follow me.
Secure the bags. All right, guys. We're going to let you guys all do your handles. We're going to start right at the dealer.
Hey. You already know who it is, man. It's Mo Legend. You found me. A combo with Mo Let.
Let him know.
It's Moses here from Project 330. You know, if you know, you know. Yeah.
Okay, that was great.
you know.
And my name is Remy. I'm just 1/4 of the Project 330 podcast. You know what I'm saying? If you want to follow me on IG, it's Reminade, R-E-M-I-N-A-D-E. No underscores, no pairs, no none of that. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I'm just trying to let the people know.
At the hours voice.
And that's it for me. Passing it on to one of y'all. You feel me?
All right. I'll introduce you, Samson. So, Samson.
Wow.
Samson was not here for the last Holiday Bay podcast, but I'm going to give him a shout out because he was there for the live podcast. Hey, and if you guys were at the live podcast.
Loyalty.
Right.
Man. We have Remy, Gabe, and Samson there. Okay, so Samson, you can say what's up.
It's your boy, Sam. You know
don't rap.
Saying?
This ain't that.
All right. Cool. I'm just keep it short and sweet. It's your boy, Sam. If you want to follow me at Samson Benutu. That's Samson, and my last name is B-I-N-U-T-U.
Yeah, you know, it's your boy Gabe, you know what I'm saying? We got just everybody just make sure you hold because Hope is on the podcast today.
Baby Hope.
She's definitely in the building.
She's a guest of honor hold too.
Yeah,
I'm honored to have her here.
Social media handle is Blue J-I-D-E.
I thought you were about to give Hope's handle.
You don't got one yet. You know what I'm saying? But Blue.
Okay, all right.
You know what I'm saying? Fourth guy. But
all right.
330.
All right, boom. So we're here with the guys. Guys, you know, we're about to get into the hottest of the tea. Today, we are going to be talking about, relationships. You guys know I love to talk about relationships.
Relationships.
I love to get into it. Hello. We're getting into it, Remy. Remy's excited. All right, boom. I can't wait.
Okay, so.
Okay, so I know last week we talked about Kanye West's album, but we already kind of talked about Summer Walker's album a little bit, just like the first hearing, blah, blah, blah. But we never really got to talk about like the content, how we felt about it. And as I was listening to the album, I realized that a lot of what she was talking about was a lot of like trauma that she's experienced. I don't know if you guys noticed that the album. It's like a breakup album.
For
like,
sure.
Like I've heard of like, breakup songs, but this album is like a breakup album.
It's like I miss you and then break up. Or I break up and then I miss you right
it's like
after.
I'm over it.
Yeah, literally hashtag over it.
Yeah, or let's break up and then I'm gonna go on my whole cycle.
Yeah. Ooh. Damn.
Let's
Then type I miss you.
Right.
After then I want you back. Then I want you back. And as I was like listening to the album and kind of just like processing my thoughts on it, I realized that obviously as women, we have to deal with a lot of the trauma that comes with men from like their childhood. But I kind of wanted to get the men's opinions on, I guess, how does it feel like and what are some of your ways you guys deal with or have dealt with in the past? Because I know you guys are currently, you know, marriage, engaged, dating. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, Sha.
We got everything.
I don't think we got engaged.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, hey,
hopefully on the way.
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Hopefully.
Speed it up. Anyways. So since I have the guys here today, I'm like, let's just talk about how you guys have dealt with in the past. And me and Denise will get into dealing with guys that have, you know, issues and traumas and how they've dealt with past relationships. But the question is, how have you guys handled dealing with women that have past trauma in past relationships or in your current relationship?
I think, honestly, you just got to have a level of understanding. Okay. You know, honestly, it's just like you just gotta, to me, right, you know, I think you gotta step in with the mindset that like nobody is perfect, like nobody's pure extremely, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so if you come in and you're kind of like highly reactive to the fact that a girl is dealing with trauma, but I think some people aren't even emotionally aware enough to realize that their significant other is behaving in a certain kind of way because of previous trauma.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, because it's never like a girl, like a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, a girl won't be like, I'm acting like this because I used to go through this.
Yeah.
You just do the behavior.
Yeah.
So I think really as a guy, you have to try to keep that awareness on like, okay, why does it seem like you don't trust me? Yeah. Or, you know, like, why does it feel like every time we do this thing, you behave this way? You know, yeah, hope, yep.
Yeah,
yep,
just like that.
Right. Hype. Anyways,
she
so
going in.
It's just like, you know, why do you feel like, you know, like, why do you do this when I say this? Or why do you change your body like that?
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I just think, awareness. For me personally, I think I was good, like, in my latter relationships. When I was a little more mature, I was able to look at things like that. But beforehand, sometimes you just react.
Yeah.
Like, dang, why does she talk to me like that when, you know, whatever. And some people might want to start doing things out of spite to their significant other. But, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, that last thing you said, that some people would want to do things out of spite. I've had situations where, in the past, trust issues were brought up. And certain things, like, out of my control. Like, let's say there's someone that likes me or someone that, you know, wants to be in a relationship with me that's outside of us.
Yeah.
I have no control or bearing over what they do.
Yeah.
So all I can do is control my actions and reactions and keep my distance and just do what I need to do as a man.
Yeah.
And there have been issues that have risen from the actions of like people outside. Mm-hmm. And then I've definitely, like, in my less mature years, thought about doing stuff out of spite, because like that crosses your mind. It's like, well, you don't trust me anyway, so it's like, what's the point in me even trying to show you all these channels or all these ways that I am like covering my bases to show you that like I'm setting the proper boundaries with everyone. I'm not a cruddy person. It's like, if you're gonna think that I'm cruddy regardless, what is the point of me doing all this?
Yeah.
You know, that thought kind of crosses my mind. But just to kind of further go with what Gabe said, it does come with understanding, but at the same time, I want to ask, like, what is the boiling point? Because I've had to have conversations, like, past and present, where it's like, you're bringing your baggage and I'm bringing my baggage in, obviously. And we both have to choose to keep our baggage in and move forward. But then there are situations where you may look at me at the same as somebody of your past.
Yeah.
And I think we have to have conversations that say, okay, if I'm not going to label you as girl one, girl two, girl three of my past, I would like that same treatment.
Yeah.
Because if you see signs that may trigger something in the past that has happened to you, you have to understand I'm not this person.
Mm-hmm.
So having a conversation with me saying, yeah, you did this, which made me feel this way, this is where we talk it out. Mm-hmm. But to say, well, my ex was doing this right before he started like wilding out or cheating or giving me trust issues. now Remy must be doing that.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes a little less fair. But I think through conversation and explaining those communications when they happen is definitely key. And I've definitely, luckily, like my girlfriend now, like, she's able to do that if that ever arises. But I think in the past, we would tend to neglect those conversations. We would tend to just assume, well, he's going to lie to me anyway if I confront him, so let me not even try to have that conversation.
Yeah.
It's weird, because I'm going to let y'all talk, but like, I've been in situations where I've like got painted as a whole person that I wasn't because of how someone, like, what
perceived
perspective,
you.
What perspective they were bringing in based on their past.
I was going to ask, I guess for you, Moses and Samson, do you guys feel like women should announce their trauma, like, in the beginning, you know what I mean, when you guys, or not maybe when the beginning, but like when it's like, oh, we're official, do you think women should be like, hey, this is all the stuff that I'm coming with, and like,
or
peel back, or do you feel, because I kind of, something in me says, well, maybe, you know, if you tell them, like, I'm thinking of scenarios like, oh, okay, well, you know, I like this guy, and, you know, we're getting kind of serious, I have these issues and these are things that bother me, like, you know what I mean, because of things that have happened. Should I just lay it all out right now for him to know, or should I just like hold, peel back slowly and just kind of like let it unfold. But if it unfolds, then you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, it shows how intentional you are as a woman to let the man know that.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, it's kind of like putting the ball in his court. Like for me, I used to always ask myself, yeah, everyone's going to come into a relationship with some type of baggage, but you got to ask yourself, at what point, like, how much are you willing to put up with? There are certain things that people come with where it's just like, all right, but I know this is because her last relationship, but I'm willing to, like, kind of work with her through this situation. But if it's, like, something that's really OC, like a habit that's really bad or her attitude really sucks, and you're someone who can't really tolerate, like, disrespect, like, it's really hard for you, then at that point, you got to question, like, am I really able to put up with this relationship or not? Right. And I feel like in that situation, if she's telling me everything I want, then it's just like, I can pick and choose, like, okay, like, these are things I know I can work with versus these are the things I know I can't.
Yeah.
And then kind of make a decision from there.
Yeah.
But I feel like at the end of the day, it may show the girl, like, man, this guy's a cop out. Like, he don't really love me for real because I have this baggage and he's not willing to, like, work with me through it. So,
which I, as a female, I'm like, that's fair. Like,
it
I
is
feel
fair. Unfortunately, your POV is not the same as the majority.
Right. Yeah.
If a man, like, let's, like, I, like, the question I asked you guys, earlier. If a man starts to talk to a girl and they're doing that slow pill back where she's like showing more and more of herself as they talk, and he's showing more and more of himself, and he gets to a point maybe 5 months down the line and he's like, I no longer want to do this.
Right.
He says, I can't do this, we're not compatible, it's not working. And you understand that too, because you're obviously in the same relationship and you can see where he's coming from, and you guys choose to end things.
Yeah.
The narrative usually is, not all the time because I'm not trying to generalize, but it usually is, he wasted my time.
Yeah.
I should have never got with him.
Yeah.
ABC.
Trash.
Yeah. So in that situation, as the woman, you got to, like, prepare your heart to receive the truth. Because it's just like, yo, if I'm giving him the option, he may actually take the option to leave.
Okay,
and you got to be okay with that.
And
not, like, you know what I'm saying?
That's when you really see what this relationship is going to be. Because, you know, the first however many months or so, it's all lovey-dovey, honeymoon type. Y'all not really talking about nothing serious. Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, to Denise's point, or Mo's, one of you, peeling back the things that are really dealing with, because they're gonna come up. Either you bring it up, or it's gonna show in the actions that you portray.
Yeah.
And then it's up to whoever, you know, whoever's doing those actions. If you are really looking underneath the surface, you know, shout out to Release Stem Power. If you're looking
underneath
the surface, you know what I'm saying, you're going to realize, like, these actions are happening because of the root of something else that happened either in the past or just something that happened. So they're going to come up.
Yeah.
I think it is smart to intentionally and do it in a smart way to bring things up in due time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I do also think that there is a reason to be guarded until you guys are fully one.
Yeah.
Because there's some things that you need. You
fully
can't,
one?
Huh?
Fully one?
Like marriage
one, or like dating one? Yeah.
No, I think even like
levels,
in different levels. I think there's things
like
that,
boundaries. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Boundaries. But there are some.
Sorry, go ahead. Not my bad.
There are some things that before marriage, y'all need to get through these things, like talk about them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I feel like even when y'all talk about them, at some point, once you guys are fully one, you can't really, like, dive into them.
Yeah.
You need to know it before going into it, but sometimes you're not going to be able to really fix those things until you're one.
Yeah, and I think...
Go ahead, Denise.
No, I was just going to say, I like what you said about guarding, because there's a difference between guarding your heart and just hiding things.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, if you're too afraid... If you're too afraid to share, my daddy issues really affected me in this way, or this, that, and a third, and so you hide it instead of just guarding yourself and not being hurt by that person.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a difference. I might not be explaining it right, but there's a huge difference between guarding your heart so that you're not hurt, and then, you know, gaining trust, because you just don't trust someone out the gate.
Yeah.
But then hiding something because you're so afraid of judgment.
Yeah.
You're so afraid of living your truth and things like that. And then when it comes time to, like, now deal with it, you don't know how to.
Yeah.
Because you ended up hiding it. Mm. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Yeah, 110%.
It's because you kind of put up this facade of who you are, and you don't really need to, you don't really know how to deal with your real self.
Yes.
And then when it comes out, it's like, dang.
Oh, I got issues.
Especially if you know you're someone, like, who doesn't really, like, get into a relationship, like, easily.
Right.
Just like, okay, this person finally likes me. I'm going to, like, you know, pretend to be this person. And then I'm going to show this side when we get married. And at that point, it's going to be too late.
It's a wrap.
And so, it's scary. But like, I used to be a fair amount. Like, yo, this person may be like putting up a facade this whole time, and then you finally see all these wild things when you're married. But
yo, no, I'm not shout even out to lie. Discernment. Bro. I always tell people, I like, I be like, yo, you know, like take time as far as like dating, because I know in the Christian community it's kind of like, hey, it's better to marry than to burn. You know what I'm saying? But y'all better get to it.
Good.
But I do feel let like burn, okay, yo,
my bad.
What just happened?
I don't even know what's going on.
Yo, anyways,
it's gonna be someone sound clip.
No, seriously,
sound big.
You already know. It's like, not just joking.
Chill.
I'm joking. I feel like it's important to take time sometimes when dating, because especially if you're not getting to the root of like your relationship, you know what I'm saying? Because you know when it's surface level. Yeah. Like, I feel like there has to be some things that gotta be broken. Like, you gotta get into, like, because I didn't find out a lot about myself until like year two of my relationship. And not a lot about my partner, like a lot about myself, mm-hmm. like things that I was hiding, things that I wasn't trying to come to terms with that just kept coming up. Yeah. And so, like, I feel like with dating, sometimes we rush into, like you said, we rush into it and then we're hiding who we are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you, like Moses said, you can only hide it for so long until it's like blown up in your face.
And then even with that, it's like, are you the, okay, let me deal with these issues that I have, or are you the person that's like, take me as I am?
Like, I think that's what laying, because when you said, do you choose to lay it out, or do you choose to have that slow peel? I feel like the people who lay it out at the forefront, like literally like second, third date, well, I have all these issues, we just put it there. They're kind of presenting it to you in a way where it's like, well, this is what it is, and this is what.
That's not necessarily true.
I feel like when people slowly peel it back, it's like if 6 months, 6 to 8 months pass by, I feel like there are certain things that I should know about you. Like, if you have trust issues with the past significant, from that stem from a past significant other, I feel like dating phase is where you discover all these things. Yeah. And I feel like in the beginning stages, if you just throw everything out there, that could scare somebody away.
Yeah. I mean, but I do
feel like if they're scared, let them run.
I do think. I do think though. At we're having this conversation seemingly with the point of view, with the assumption that people are aware of their issues. You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
People don't, you know, like a lot of people don't figure out certain things about themselves till they're in a certain relationship.
Yeah.
Till they're, you know, so it's like, it's not even really that you know everything about yourself when you get there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think my philosophy is always be 100% of yourself, you know, just so that you know that when the person says, I love you, or for the first time, or whatever the case is,
it's
you
really
know they're
you.
Doing it like it's genuinely you. Because if you're being 60% yourself, and they say that, then you won't really feel that, you know. And to your question of like, do we think that ladies should, you know, announce who? It's like both sides should, you know. It's not like a ladies thing. It's
Well, I mean, it's we're getting the guys' perspective. Me and Denise have yet to even peel the surface.
Yeah, because I had a question. I had a question that I wanted to get.
Ask.
Okay, cool. So, like going back to what Gabe said, I feel like both sides should be laying this all out. What if, let's say, you guys are in a relationship already? Like, time has passed. And the guy discovers something, like he may have had either trust issues or been a womanizer, or just have like something that is a red flag that would have been a red flag for you in the dating phase. But he now just discovered this about himself, and he's presenting it to you saying, hey, like in the past, I've had issues with lust that I didn't necessarily deal with. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to you with this. We're on year one, year two. We're together. Like, this has been a stamp already. Yeah. You know him to a certain extent.
How does
extent.
That lust represent itself?
I was about to say, because as long as it's not coming with a confession.
It's just like a general, just an example. Like, obviously, he didn't step out or anything, but he's saying it's something he deals with. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's just thinking about other, like, just these type of things.
Right. I have a hard time just, you know, keeping focused.
And not thinking. Maybe it's like,
how does that manifest itself? Yeah,
social media, just stuff that it lingers, these thoughts. Like, if he were to present this to you and y'all are together, like, how would y'all maneuver?
Denise,
I'm a big advocate about for therapy. So, and I'm currently in therapy, and that's just because there's things that I, like someone said, I didn't figure out I had issues with until later on in the relationship. Yeah. So I would try my best to be like, if you're open to it, let's go talk to someone about it.
Yeah. I also feel like, I feel like if, like, the person is telling you, hey, these are my issues, like, obviously, it's almost like they're coming to you. As long as they're coming to me to seek a solution, that's like key. Because if you're not coming
to
me,
step is big.
Like, I feel like, okay, like, you're coming to tell me this because you think that it is a problem, right? Obviously, it's not something you can contain yourself. So I feel like even like therapy is good. I just hope that, like, I'm not even asking you, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, okay, oh, this is okay, all right, cool, yeah, we're gonna start going to therapy, like, this will be great for us.
And then going back to what I said, it's like, are you coming with me to tell me that you have these issues and it's like, take it or leave it?
Leave it,
Or is it like, I need your help? Like, I'm coming to you to confide in you.
Or I'm welcoming
you. I'm welcoming you. Welcoming
the people that are just giving it and presenting it to you with no actions and or even intentions of trying to fix it, just like accept it as it, you gotta run.
Yeah,
I feel like social media promotes that though.
It does.
It'll be like, take me as I am. If somebody is not aligned with your interest, then cut them off. Like, it just says, like,
because I'm a Scorpio.
With a rising Taurus.
I don't know.
Because in a sense, it's selfish. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's a selfish motive within a relationship because you guys are called to help each other
and
grow. And what am I supposed to do with someone who doesn't want to grow or advance themselves? And myself, like, it then becomes you. I need to tend to whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to say toxic, but whatever toxic thing that you deal with.
I just
put up with it.
And I think people, there's just a difference between change and development.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
And it's just like, you should
be
open.
Down my lane.
You should be open. Down my lane. Open to development. You know, developing as a person.
Right.
But changes. I think everybody says that phrase with like, you can't change me. You know what I'm saying? But they don't really think with the mindset of like, somebody helping me to grow aka develop. You know what I'm saying? So,
and
it's a lot of offense out here.
Offense. That's the word, bro.
And that's what it is.
It's funny because, so I was saying on our last podcast, I'm a character coach. And today I had one of my friend pastors come and speak to the guys about being coachable. And offense is the biggest thing in stopping someone from being coachable.
Sure.
Even if the value of the person giving the message is, like, it's valuable message, you discredit their credibility because they're coming for you.
Yeah.
You know, with
defense. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like,
I feel right.
A lot of relationships, a lot of relationships, when you get into conversation, it should be like a two-way side of you guys both helping each other grow, and that comes with correction.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can, either both sides, if you correcting me and I'm correcting you, and it's not going to be easy because it's a constant thing. You're going to feel some type of way.
Frustrated.
Yo, it's I'm not even going to lie. Submission? Okay, let me not say that word because that's a naughty word.
You're going to get this not riled
up.
That's a naughty word.
Yeah.
When when me and my boyfriend first started dating, hey, babe, it was like, it was very hard for me to succumb to some of the things that he required of me.
Ooh.
He was able to succumb to things that I required because he loved me.
Selfless love.
Selfless love. Shout out to, okay, we get it.
Die to yourself.
But some of the things, and because I was just not used to being told what to do. You know, I had been on my own for a time, and I also was not getting correction because I didn't have too many adult figures in my life. And the correction that I was getting was like toxic. So it was like, it was just like, F that. No, no, you're wrong. Okay, this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And so I even feel like just being able to be like, he was able to correct some of these things in me. You know what I mean? That was so monumental. Like, it's insane. And it changes the dynamic of a relationship because I feel like you then start to trust someone more when they give you advice and it works. You're like, they care about me.
Yeah,
like, they love me.
Not only that, but it's just, I had a revelation before I share that, though. It's revelation.
You gotta share something else before
like
that.
Like 2 weeks ago.
But
one thing I learned is just like, especially in marriage, just like when your spouse is correcting you, you don't want to be that spouse where it like, your spouse has to jump through hoops just to like correct you. Because every time they correct you get an attitude, you get mad.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's just like, your spouse is trying to help you become a better you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, at the back of my head, I'm like, yo, why am I getting mad when she's trying to make me a better man? Or why are you upset when he's trying to make you a better woman?
Yeah.
And it's just like, at some point, your spouse is going to be like, you know what? I'm not going to correct them anymore, because every time I try to correct them, they get an attitude.
Yeah.
I feel disrespected after correcting them. So at that point, it's just like,
I'm not going to tell you anymore.
And the revelation I had was just like, just imagine the amount of dormant seeds you have lying in you, because the people close to you don't feel comfortable enough to tell you the truth about yourself, or every time they try to tell the truth about yourself, you feel some type of way, so they stop. And there are a lot of dormancy that you have laying inside of you because of like the fact that you're not willing to receive correction.
Yeah.
From whether your best friend, your mom, your dad, whoever it may be, you're not willing to receive that correction. So there's so many aspects of you that are not like blossoming because you're not allowing them to. You're not allowing them to blossom.
That's really good.
You know what I'm saying? So that really spoke to me. And every time, like even now when my wife corrects me, it hurts. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that it's not gonna be painful. But at the end of the day, you gotta think about the why.
Yeah.
Like, why are they correcting you? It's because you're doing something that is not right, or you're doing something that needs to get better. You need to work on this. Like, your time management is not good, or your financial stability, or how you handle finances is not good. Your attitude is not good.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be for you personally, just accept it and then just work towards changing it. That's what spoke to me. And it's humbling.
I think pride and communication were the two biggest.
Yes, I was about to say that.
Going into relationships, those are my two biggest toxic traits. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, I hated being corrected. I hated being wrong. So, like, you ever try to, like, even when you know you lost the fight, you try to, like, celebrate your small win, but be like, oh, I was right about that. Right. Even though you were wrong in the argument, I was that guy for a while. Yeah. And it took, like, my girl telling me, all right, I'm just not going to, like, even go back and forth with you because I know how you are. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, dang. Then you start to sit and think, like, is this even worth it? Because, like, especially as a guy, you know there are times where even if you can win the battle, it's no point because if she's upset, y'all both lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like,
that's so bad.
And all that.
You be sitting there thinking, like, bro, I'm right,
but like, but if I tell her how right I am, she going to be mad. Yeah. I'm going to be mad because she's mad. It's just not going
to
be pretty.
I know I always used to say, like, I told you so after something.
Oh,
you
know. I said happened.
Clown.
This guy's throwing grenades, bro.
And I realized, every time I said I told you so, nothing like
good came out of it.
Nothing good came out of it. So there be times where, like, even if I have the opportunity to say it, I'm just silent, and she notices it and she respects that, and like even receives it way better with me not saying it.
So
I just realized it's better to keep my mouth shut and just.
I think there's a good way to reward that, though. You know what I'm saying? You could say it differently.
I think you're doing a good job.
I won't try to elaborate on. You could say, oh, okay. You know, like, there's a way to.
Remember what I said when I said it.
That's not what you say. You would say something like, oh, okay, dang, this is how it turned out. Okay, well, I mean, hopefully next time we can, like, or you can, you know, like, just, we can.
No. You
have to use inclusive language, you know what I'm saying?
You're walking on thin ice.
Look.
But what's the point in saying I told you so? It's trying to be, why?
I'm not saying, no. Yeah. I'm not even trying to get the I told you so off. I think there are situations that warrant like, previously when we talked about this, this is something that I advised to get, that, you know, like, that could have happened, and it's happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm not trying to rub it in your face or anything, but it's just almost like,
I would be like, huh.
That is true, because, you
know, it is, because especially, okay.
At some point, you're going to have to address it.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
for me,
I don't think
quiet,
when the wound is fresh, you should be like, not the time to do it. I'm just saying there's a way to reword I told you so at a different time.
I think the point about that is just like doing it at a different time. My aunt taught me, and she's been in a successful marriage for quite some time after her second marriage, but that's not the point. Anyway,
she got it right.
She got it right this time, though. She got it right this time. They've been married for some time.
Right.
And she was giving me advice. She was saying, you never tell them, like, I told you so in the moment,
right?
Or even if you're right and you know you're right, sometimes just let them have it.
Hit the I'm sorry,
and just let it go. When they're eating their favorite food the next day, you know that you prepared. She's like Fob, so she's like that. You prepared them, they're happy, and they're sitting there watching TV. That's when you go and say, "Oh, I'm not even joking. I tried that before and it worked, but that's not the point. Anyway, one thing that I was gonna say is, I remember the first time I was like, you know what, you're actually right. My boyfriend was like, huh? Like, he was so thrown off.
Because we don't never hear that.
Exactly.
That's not status quo. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, it's obviously not.
I was having a conversation with, I forgot who I was having a conversation with. And two of the hardest things, or the things that we don't hear as often from, you know, women or significant others. And I'm not saying this is a blanket statement. I'm saying
he's not trying to generalize.
The people that have experienced it is that it's so hard to say, I'm sorry. Mm. And then you're right. So that's why we get so shocked.
Yeah, he was like, huh? But I do it a lot more now because I'm like, you know what? Dang, this person's really smart.
It's affirmation, though.
Yeah, it's also, and I'm just like, you know what? I, like, when I'm right, he'll be like, all right, man, you got it. You know what I mean? He won't say you're right. He'll be like, all right, you know what?
I'll be on that.
You know what?
But I think I can
give you that one.
I think when you can lead by example, whether you're the guy or the girl, by doing those things. So the more you do those things, the other person is prone to do it. I have countless examples, like even in our marriage or relationship, where just because I led with something in ineffective communication, I noticed that, and I didn't even have to ask Deb to do it. Like, she'll just do it, you know, or pick it up or stuff like that. Like, in our house, we just, you know what I'm saying, like, I just wash dishes just because dishes are in the sink. So I never had to be like, yeah, Deb, can you, you know what I'm saying, handle the, you know, I'll just come home and be done. And I'd be like, I'd be relieved internally because I didn't have to say it. I just led. You know.
But, and I think leading with an I'm sorry, like, let's say you got into an argument or some type of discourse with your significant other and you felt away, but you know they felt away as well. If you lead with I'm sorry and then explain, like, your actual intention, I think that opens the door for you to explain how you were feeling. And instead of, like, because a lot of people kind of point fingers and put the onus on them and say, you did this, you did this, you did this. And I think, as opposed to that, when you say, I felt this way when this happened, I think people
as long
are
as you
receptive.
Don't add but after I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but
or don't say
wild
I'm sorry that made you feel that way.
Yo, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that made you feel that way. It's the wildest.
That's
episode.
Not a real apology.
I used to love that. That was my thing, because there was a point in my life where I literally felt like I could never be wrong. Like, I was just like, I don't know why. I think it's just like growing up with like a narcissist parent. You then you build narcissist characteristics.
That makes sense.
And so like there was a point in my life where I literally was like, everybody is just so dumb. And like, I know, I'm telling you. This is before Christ though.
Because
so,
you
like,
think
yeah.
you just think
I'm
you
like,
know
yo,
best.
I'm
like,
so wise.
You look
Socrates,
at so many things. You read what you read. It's like, I never experienced it, but I just know this is the perfect move to make.
Yeah. Like, if I was you, nah,
that would never
me.
Happen to
yeah.
me.
Like, yeah, and then it's also starts happening to you. Stuff starts happening to you. You're like, oh nah. Mm-mm. So I brought that up to say, like, yeah, like, I feel like understanding that you are wrong and you can be wrong is like one of the most powerful things in a relation, in life in general, but also in your relationship, especially if you feel like. I guess I kind of want to shift into like, we kind of gotta wrap this up because we rapping, but I kind of want to talk about, I guess, share a time where you felt like you were being toxic and how you changed that. Like, something that was like a monumental moment for you, because as I'm listening to Summer Walker's lyrics and like her music, it sounds like it's breeding and encouraging toxicity.
Oh yeah.
In relationships. But I'm like, why is this? And obviously people love like negative things.
But people eat that stuff up. So I think, I think even to not so much expound on what you just said, but I think even as a music maker, as an artist, sometimes you prepare the food that people will eat.
I guess it's all about what is it called? Pathos and no, not.
I don't know.
Never mind. Anyway, sure.
I mean,
okay, so let's go. You know,
supply and demand.
A toxic trait that you had in a relationship and how you were able to overcome it.
Do situationships count?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yes. I only have one relationship.
I mean, I think.
No, me too. I'm dead.
I think for me.
I'm dead. You have to go. Damn,
I think for me, for real, it's just more so. It was just more so of a thing of like pride, for real. You know, just letting it get in the way of things. Like, I have to always control the narrative. I have to have the last say. I just want control. So, you know, like, I just do little things in order to manipulate situations. If I don't feel, you know, a certain way, then I'm going to try to, you know, throw a little bomb out there. Just say that thing that'll set the other person off. You know what I'm saying? Like, or hit on somebody's you know, insecurity or something like that. So
ooh,
that was definitely
so painful.
You know, like, legit.
We can skip you, Samson, because Samson's perfect.
Think about it.
He's like, nah, I'm just playing. You can think about it.
Dang, that's a good.
I have one.
Go ahead.
I'm prefacing this by saying this is not me now.
Okay, we know. Remy, so everybody knows
he's
you grown.
A new man.
Look,
so like, as
you
a
know,
dude,
he says that all the time.
Because you know,
I'm like,
man,
Remy,
that's
not their perception. Everybody knows you're a good guy.
But like, I think all guys to a certain extent growing up associated like how they were as a man by how much attention they got from the opposite sex, right?
Yeah, how many bodies how many bodies they dropped.
Not even that far. But like, I remember when I was getting to know someone or in like situationships talking to someone, I would still like that attention from other girls. I would never like do anything, but knowing it's like,
yeah,
I would always, I had a bad time setting boundaries because I would always not necessarily crave that attention, but I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't go out to seek it, but if it was there, I would take it. So yeah, it's like for me, getting to the point where I know somebody liked me,
yeah,
that was enough for me. So wow, I always would like teeter that line where, yeah, it's like flirtatious vibes or just like just something slight.
Yeah.
Just enough to say like, no, I didn't do that. No, I yeah didn't do that. So then that now caused a rift between me and whoever
that's
I was talking
future
to.
Future stuff.
Because
it's almost like trying to remove liability.
Yeah, because it's like, nah, she just wanted me.
Precisely.
It's like, yeah, but Remy, you knew what you were doing. Remy, you could have stopped this here, or you could have set this boundary.
Yeah,
here
for that is
that
true.
Yeah.
So like, that was very toxic because now somebody I'm dealing with is thinking like, dang,
is really Remy
like
me?
You just have those thoughts in your head and like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, because I said previously in the podcast, like, if somebody does something to me, like if a girl like makes an advance at me, it's up to me to like
yeah
stop that now.
Yeah,
I think like, I don't know. I think that toxic trait just goes back to me not being able to set that boundary.
I think for me, I had FOMO. So I had a fear of missing out. So I would be with someone, I'm just like, damn, I wonder what it's like to be with
so I had that too, bro.
I can see that.
That's
true, though.
No, yeah, that's
especially
yeah
when you were thinking about somebody else before you started dating a certain person.
Yeah, exactly.
In the early stages of dating somebody, you
yeah
know, stuff
yeah
like
yeah
that.
And because I was hanging with the wrong people, there were people who would make me think, like, there's nothing like a new person, a new
right
experience.
Right.
So you'd be with somebody that was familiar, that you liked them,
right,
and then you would be thinking about, like, a new person that you never met yet.
Yep.
And you're wild, Mo. I heard what you said, but I'm going to let that go. Go ahead, yeah, Sam.
Nah, I'm good. That's all I had. But I'm just saying, it was the fear of, like, dang, like, is this
how
the person
did you
I'm
get
supposed
over that?
I mean, being content.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good.
Just honestly, realizing the grass ain't greener, bro.
Right.
And,
yeah,
and honestly, you can
sure
still feel like that.
Period.
It's really
like
easy
you
to feel like that, even, like, when you're married. I'm not saying I do, but I love you. You know, so I'm good. I'm
yeah
just saying, like,
I'm good.
That, I don't need not, nothing else.
That can be, that, but FOMO could be applied in so many different ways.
I just had a whole R&B song on the joint.
Yo,
I
love
you,
baby.
FOMO can be that job you turn down and
yeah
you're like, you know what I'm saying? It could be
like
that relationship.
Yeah.
It could be that home. So it's like, it's not always just a person, but it's just like, it's just FOMO.
And the yeah thing about FOMO is crazy. It's like when you have that FOMO, it rises when you're with your current situation and something negative happens. Like what
oh
Sam
yeah
said, if you're
yeah, yeah,
let's
yeah
say you're in a relationship and you had FOMO at the early stages because there was somebody that you used to like that you didn't choose, right?
Yeah.
And then you get into a big argument with your girl, that FOMO rises because like,
so,
dang.
And then that joint you thought
yeah
about that one time just show up.
Yeah.
Or you be on the timeline.
Up.
You just be on the timeline.
Like, oh, no.
It's on IG.
I feel like that would scare me. Like, this is a spirit.
That's the enemy.
Oh,
no,
God.
It's dead.
Yeah. Like, what's that?
Because you start thinking about how good it could possibly
be
if we're on the other side.
If I made another choice,
just because
I did this differently.
Just because that temporary feeling that you have that's negative, associated with that negative situation.
But then when you sit down for it and think about it for a while, you're just like, oh,
I'm not
I'm
trying
good
to give this up.
Right. I think I can relate with all of what everybody said.
Nah, you need your own.
I'm getting to it.
Hey,
you
yo, don't speak.
I can, I can relate to that, but I think mine was, I think mine's more so like pride and grace. And when I say grace, it's like extending grace to my significant other compared to the same grace I'm extending myself.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying?
Good. That's good.
Because
Moses,
like I can
break it down.
Be ripping, not ripping, but like I'll correct her. Like, oh, this should have been changed by now. Like, why are you still doing this? But myself, I'm like,
yo, Moses,
no,
is,
not in that,
it's
not in
a
that
joke. Yeah.
I won't say it like that, but I'll bring up the same thing over and over.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and
I get
if
what
I look
saying
at myself, there's things that like I'm giving myself too much grace for. It's like,
yeah,
you need to get this together
yeah
and figure this out because you're over here doing this and that and talking to her. I'm not not like in a demeaning or condescending
yeah
way, but you're working on that. But you also need to work on yourself as well. Like
yeah
you're giving yourself so much grace, but you're not extending that same grace to your significant other.
That's
or my
good
girl. And I had to sit back and realize that. And then I also had to realize like, I don't have the power to change someone.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
Like you
coming
don't
down my lane.
And the moment I realized that, because once you feel like you have the power to change yourself, one, you're putting too much burden on yourself. And then two, you're kind of putting yourself in the position of God where he's the person that's the changer. You're just the helper. And you know, maybe it's just bringing to light what the real issue is,
mm-hmm,
but you can't change nothing. And the moment I kind of realized that, like it caused me to step back a little bit. One, bring things to God more, And two, just be there to encourage and to love like I'm supposed to. And that kind of just like freed up stress, freed up a lot of arguments, freed up a lot of just like we saying toxic a lot. So I'm going to just keep it going.
Negative.
Yeah. Toxic or negative things that were going on. Yeah. So I think those are the things where it's really just letting go of my expectations or like Gabe said, controlling the narrative, controlling where we're going and just giving it up to God and just being there to encourage, love, address when needed. But understanding that it's not up to me to keep this thing afloat.
For me, it was really my attitude. I had
you're so pleasant though.
Yeah, to y'all,
to people that don't really know
until
me.
She upset. Dead,
listen, and so like, especially with the people that are closest to me. So like my best friend, my sister, my mom, and my boyfriend. Those are the top four people who have seen the nastiest of nastiest attitude from me. And I think it even got to the point where my attitude was so bad over the littlest things because I have like really bad anxiety. So like if something's not working out, I just snap on everyone around me. And it was to the point where he didn't even want to be around me. He was just like,
I know you're going to get mad.
He was like, oh, you hangry? Let me
tiptoe around you.
Yeah, and my attitude was just so nasty. And again, back to like not taking responsibility, like even in arguments, I was just like, yo, I know I'm wrong, but you still did this wrong. Ooh, you still did that wrong. And the way you said it was wrong. And even though he was right. And I just tried to find every single reason to be upset and have an attitude. And it was just so nasty. And I had to like really take a look into myself. Like, why are you like this?
Why
are you doing that?
Yeah.
Like, you could have responded differently.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to be like the person that was kind of like a victim. Like, I want him to constantly like coddle
you.
And just say like, you know what? I know you're upset. I know you're this. I know you're that. But in reality, why are you upset? Like, you have no real reason to be upset except for the reason that you want to be coddled and you want to be seen as a victim and you want just and everyone around you to be like, oh my gosh, we don't want Denise to be this way. We don't want to, you know. But then it also was a negative thing because then they're tiptoeing around me. They're tiptoeing around the things that they want to say around me, and then just so that I don't get upset. So then it's like people are no longer authentic. You know,
that's true. And it's not who they really are.
Yeah, and it really creates a strain on the relationship, especially like, oh, Denise ain't eat all day. Now I gotta figure out how, like,
I gotta force feed her.
Right.
Without her screaming at me.
I gotta take my stress away from the situation because she's already stressed about something else. When in reality, it's just like, so definitely my attitude. And so that's something that I had to work on in therapy, like, on my own.
I was about to say, therapy.
Yeah, on my own, separate from that.
I think for me, my toxic trait was something that Denise said, but she kind of like rushed over it, was just like, like even if I'm wrong in the argument, like that's just it, no. So like at the, like if I'm wrong, you could be like, Mo, the sky is blue. I'll be like, listen, Jess, the sky is not blue. And you'd be like, Mo, it's blue. I'd be like, okay, it's blue, but first of all, you don't need to raise your voice at me like that, because at the end of the day, like, I am just a person. Like, I'm telling you,
Jesus Christ.
I'm telling you, like, I used to be bat-ish crazy, like, but I'm saved and delivered and all that stuff, and you know, growth.
That don't mean you know.
No, I know, but growth. No, like, I'm actually like grown from that. But you know, I be saying you right now. You know what I'm saying? Growth, baby steps.
I think for the women out there that say you right.
Yeah, I ain't gonna say.
I think I kind of have one that like I'm still currently working on. It's like patience. So like
patience
that. My girl was telling me. So she said, because like at work people would tell me like I'm very patient, like outside when I have like no relationships with somebody, but my girl would tell me like my patience works in layers, where it's like, but it's real, because when I don't have an expectation for somebody, like a cashier, she'd be quicker to snap at a cashier or a waiter or waitress who's not really doing their job. But I'll be like, son, like they didn't cook the food that bad, so let's not give them a hard time. I'd be the more patient one. But when it comes to like her, my mom, it's like that expectation is there. It's like, son, I told you this one time. Like, what are we doing? Like, and my patience just runs so thin. But it's like, it's because like, because I care about you and I know what you're capable of. I don't know what this waiter that I've never met can do and can't do. And they might be going through something, but because I feel like I have a grasp of like what's going on in your life, I unfortunately be given less grace and having less patience. So that's something that's
so that would be tied to like expectations too, right?
Yeah, just definitely.
Yeah.
Dang, guys. Thank you guys so much for sharing all of this and trauma bonding with, like, no, I'm just joking. We're not trauma bonding.
But I need to go to therapy, though.
Yeah, no. Sunisa, she's hitting a nail on the head right there. Listen. Therapy. Go to therapy. Don't be sitting there sulking to Summer Walker's album when you know you got all them same issues and you're trying to get into a relationship with somebody with even more issues, then you confused as to why they running away. Okay?
So people love that stuff, yeah, man.
Or expecting your partner or whoever to fix you.
To fix you. Yeah. Or to super understand. Wait, not Bob the Builder.
What?
Or to like, you know, and not even like fix you, but just like, they know I have these issues, so they know that this is why I act. You know what I'm saying? I act this way. Yeah. You know I got daddy issues, so you know I'm already gonna go crazy.
You know what would be funny? Like, so let's say SZA's album, for example, right? Yeah. Like The Weeknd, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of girls would like yell that song at the top of their lungs, but like if they were actually The Weeknd, it'd be like, oh my god!
Remy,
but it's like you
coming down my lane. Like, yo,
it's so weird because like we'll yell these anthems and everything, and I mean I'm a corporate too, like dude songs or whatever. But it's like
I'm sure
we don't actually want to.
We know about you.
It's an evil world we live in.
It's an evil world we live in. She belongs to the streets.
Sorry to that girl.
But like we kind of like hold these songs and hold these artists to like this high regard, but we don't necessarily want to live out this life.
Oh yeah.
And like Summer Walker is like in a relationship, quote unquote happy. Yeah.
You know, Beyonce was doing Single Ladies while
she was married.
Don't be fooled, y'all.
Yeah. Like I said, they do that for
you
y'all. Chef, you make what the people eat.
That's true. Like, you might
not even eat it yourself. Right. It's for y'all.
She put it out. She can't even dance to it.
Future said he stopped doing all that stuff.
All them drugs.
And that's another podcast for another day. I'm telling you. But that is it for this episode, guys. We're going to go around and tell everybody where to find you, and somebody do it for Samson too. Mo Legend.
Yeah, so Mo Legend, M-O, no E, you know what I'm saying? M-O-L-E-G-E-N-D _. I'm trying to get rid of underscore, but you know, for the time being.
He got to pay Instagram for that.
Yeah, I'm trying. Hey, if you know somebody on Instagram, come hit me up. But yeah, Mo Legend, you can follow our Project 330 page at PROJ330. Stay tuned of the Greater Podcast, you know, all that good stuff. Yeah.
And I am Remy. He already shouted out Project 330. My Instagram is REMINADE. You know what I'm saying? Follow me. Don't DM me. My DMs are broken. They are closed for business. But you can follow
energy.
Me.
Wow. Energy.
Going back to
get you a man who blocks his DMs.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at denise.osei. Last name is OSEI. Also, you can check out my website, www.deniseosei.com. Again, last name.
Website.
OSEI.
Yeah,
yes,
legit.
I'm official, y'all.
Ooh. Yeah, you can, you know what I'm saying? This chick, Hope. She's just, all right.
Shout out to Baby Hope for the feature this whole pod.
Right. I did. Screaming. But nah, this is Gabe, you know what I'm saying? Blue G-Day, BLUEJID as in dog, E.
D as in doggy.
D as in dog. But nah, yeah, you know, and that's 330, you know what I'm saying?
And
that's
Samson.
Samson
is at Samson Binutu, you know, BINUTU.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, follow that man.
Follow that man.
And, you know, he had to step, you know.
He did, per usual, anyways.
Wow.
It's your girl, Mo Diggs. Make sure you guys, I need to start saying Mo Digga, because I'm like, you know. Anyways.
I like Mo Diggs.
I love Mo Diggs, but
rolls
I just feel
the
like.
Tongue.
It does, but I feel like that's another conversation for off the pod. Anyways, make sure you guys follow at A Convo with Mo on Instagram. If you are listening to this on Spotify, SoundCloud, all that, make sure you leave reviews, 5 stars, likes, hearts. Share this with your cousin, your friend, your sister, your auntie, your uncle, your brother.
Your toxic friends.
Everybody that you know that needs more encouragement about how toxic relationships are supposed to go and not go. You know what I'm saying? And that is it, guys. We're ending the pod in 5, 4,
be safe,
three,
y'all.
Sorry
two.
To that man.
Not sorry to that man.